given any choice at all. I did not want to be anywhere near the place after dark. I had gone in there by night once before, ages ago, as part of a company raid meant to capture Narion and the Daughter of Night. We murdered a lot of their friends, but those two had gotten away. I remembered only the fear and the cold, and the way the grove seemed to have a soul of its own that was more alien than the soul of a spider. Mergen once said that being in that place at night was as bad as walking through one of Kina's dreams. Though of this world, it had a powerful otherworldly taint. I tried to ask Narion about it. Why had his predecessors chosen that particular grove as their most holy place? How had it been different from other groves of those times, when humanity's impact on the face of the earth had been so much less?
What do you wish to know, analyst?
Singh was suspicious of my interest. Because I'm naturally curious. Aren't you ever curious about how things came to be and why people do the things they do?
I serve the goddess.
I waited. Evidently, he deemed that an adequate explanation. Being somewhat religious myself, I could encompass it, even though I did not find it satisfying. I offered a snort of disgust. Narion responded with a smirk.
She is real, he said.
She is the darkness.
You see her handiwork around you every day.
Not true. Untrue, little man. But if she ever gets loose, I think we will. This discussion had become terribly uncomfortable suddenly. It put me in the position of admitting the existence of a god other than my god, which my religion insisted was impossible. There is no god but God. Narion smirked. Mugabe did the one good thing he had ever done for me. By turning up in person, he saved me the rigorous and embarrassing mental gymnastics necessary to reconfigure Kina as a fallen angel thrown down into the pit. I knew it could be done. Elements of Kina myth could be hammered into conformity with the tenets of the only true religion, given a quick coat of blackwash, and I would have completed a course of religious acrobatics elegant enough to spark the pride of my childhood teachers. Mugabe and his staff traveled 3/4 of the way toward the rear of the column. The great general was mounted, which was a surprise. He was never a rider before. The greater surprise, though, was the nature of his steed. It was one of the sorcerously bred black stallions the company had brought down from the north. I had thought they were all dead. I had not seen one since the Kialune Wars. This one not only was not dead, it was in outstanding health, despite its age. It also appeared bored by the business of travel.
"Don't gape," Riverwalker told me. "People get curious about why other people are curious. I think I can afford to stare some. Mugabe will feel like he deserves it." Mugabe looked every bit the great general and mighty warrior. He was tall and perfectly proportioned, well-muscled, well-clad, well-groomed. But for the dust of silver in his hair, he looked little older than he had been when first I saw him, right after the company captured Jaikur from Storm Shadow. He had had no hair then, having preferred to shave his head. He seemed in a good humor, not a condition I had associated with him in the past.